Welcome to this podcast on risk management for charities. My name is John Calladine. In this podcast, we address the issue of risk management for charities. Risk is an everyday part of life, whether you are a charity or business, and managing it effectively is essential. If the trustees are to achieve their objects and safeguard the charity's funds and assets, then they must consider risk. If it can be proved they are negligent or not protecting the charity and its assets, then they face possible action. Charity trustees should regularly review and assess the risk which they face in all areas of their work and plan effectively for the management of those risks. Risk can depend very much on the size, nature, and complexity of the charity's activities, and more particularly its finances. Obviously, the bigger the charity, the bigger the risk. But the risk management process will always need to be tailored to fit the particular circumstances of each charity. The responsibility for the management of risk lies with the trustee body, and therefore their involvement in the planning process is essential, particularly in setting out the parameters and analysing the results. This does not mean they have to do it, as they can delegate to key staff, and perhaps more particularly to outside professional advisors. The legal requirement is that a charity which has to have its accounts audited must make a risk management statement in the trustees' annual report, confirming that the trustees have given consideration to the major risks which the charity is exposed to and have satisfied themselves that systems and procedures are established in order to manage those risks. The major risks which would have an impact on the charity are covered in the following areas. 1. Governance. 2. Operations. 3. Finances. 4. Environmental or external factors. And 5. Compliance with law and regulation. Charities that are required to be audited at the present time are those with an annual gross income exceeding £500,000 or more, or alternatively, have a gross income exceeding £250,000 or more, with gross assets exceeding £3.26 million. Smaller charities are not legally obliged to concern themselves with risk, but it is a matter of good practice to do so. The content of a risk management statement in the trustee's report will obviously be determined by the size and complexity of the charity. However, it does give a reader of the accounts an opportunity to understand the operations of the charity and the risks it is exposed to. The Charity Commission recommend the following broad principles to be used. 1. Description of the major risks faced. 2. The links between identification of the risk and the operational and main objects of the charity. 3. Procedures that extend beyond financial risk to encompass operational compliance and categories to identifiable risk. 4. The link between risk assessment and evaluation of the likelihood of its occurrence and impact should the event occur. 5. A description of the risk assessment process and monitoring that are embedded in management and operational processes. And 6. Trustees should review the principal results of risk identification and processes and how they are evaluated and monitored. This brings us to identifying the types of risk that charities face. The risks are somewhat different from the normal business or commercial world, although of course many would overlap. Generally, the risk will need to be considered in terms of the wider environment in which the charity operates, together with the economic climate. Environment, law, technology, and financial risks are the most obvious matters to consider. Let's address some of the issues. Financial. Inaccurate or insufficient financial information. Are there audited or examined accounts? Are there quarterly budgets, regular reporting, etc.? Inadequate reserves and cash flow. Is there a reserve policy? Does it work? Many use general terms like 3 months operational expenditure. Is this feasible? Dependence upon one source of income. One major grant or source of income can leave the charity financially exposed. Inadequate investment advice and management of assets and investments. Inadequate insurance cover. Obviously, a number of these can be controlled with the employment of appropriate in-house staff and external accountants, utilisation of insurance brokers, investment advisors and others, etc. Operational risks. Lack of safety and welfare of beneficiaries. How funds are distributed and to whom. Poor contract pricing when services are delivered. Poor staff recruitment. No human resource policies and training policies. Is there adherence to disciplinary or grievance procedures? Security of assets. Again, all of these can be addressed by the appointment of the appropriate staff, implementation of systems and monitoring. Governance. Inappropriate organisational structures. No suitably trained trustees. Conflicts of interest between trustees and staff. A properly constituted board of trustees, independent of staff, meeting regularly with those trustees having a range of skills would overcome all or most of those issues. External risks. Bad reputation in the community or nationally. Changes in the demographics of the beneficiaries. Upheavals in the economic and political world. Particularly change in government policy. Of course, we now have difficult economic circumstances in the country, affecting charities quite severely. Charities will not necessarily have seen this coming. The cutbacks have meant that funding has been curtailed. A charity will need to have some sort of contingency plan in place. Compliance with law and regulation. If the charity is acting in breach of its trust, acting outside its objects, this would be a major issue. Trustees with a poor knowledge of legal responsibilities of employers and a lack of knowledge of regulatory requirements will cause problems. Much of this can be dealt with by trustees being suitably trained or work delegated to suitably trained staff and use of advisors. However, in the case of a small charity, it does become more difficult, particularly those dependent upon volunteers. So let's see how this risk can be managed. Charity Commission guidance gives 4 basic strategies that can be applied to manage an identified risk. 1. Transfer the financial consequences to third parties or sharing it, usually through insurance or outsourcing. 2. Avoiding the activity altogether, therefore eliminating the risk. That is, not taking up a particular contract or a particular activity or service. 3. Management or mitigation of the risk. And 4. Accepting or assessing it is a risk that cannot be avoided if the charity activity is to continue. For example, this might be where a trustee takes out an insurance policy that carries a higher level of voluntary excess, or where the trustees recognise that the core activity carries a risk but takes steps to mitigate it. That is, the public use of a charity's building would be a risk. A simple management model tool in dealing with risk is then therefore 1. Establishing a risk policy. 2. Identifying what the risk is. 3. Assessing the risk. 4. Evaluating what action needs to be taken on the risk. And 5. Periodic monitoring and assessment. The reality, of course, is that much of this is done by those involved on a day-to-day basis. However, the proper setting up of a risk policy does bring protection to the charity. Minutes of meetings, a separate subcommittee, and a particular risk model identified will protect the charity in the event of a bomb exploding. We have to face the reality that we live in a world of litigation where things go wrong, a world of regulations for health and safety, human resources, etc. A well-run charity will address all these issues, delegate responsibility, assess the risk, and bring control. Thank you for listening to this podcast.